Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That's why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him, who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the entire debt. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he had paid the whole debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master to report the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant. I forgave you your entire debt because you asked me. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart." The Gospel of the Lord. These third and fourth weeks of Lent, we enter into a different phase. The first 2.5 weeks of Lent were all about conversion, repenting and getting ourselves ready to believe in the gospel. These middle weeks are all the preparation for catechumens for baptism and all of us for the renewal of our baptismal promises. And starting a week from Friday, we will get explicit prophecies about Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. Yesterday, if we didn't have the Annunciation, we would have had one of my favorite Old Testament scenes, Naaman, to talk to us about the incredible power of baptism. It might just seem like water sprinkled 3 times over our head, but it has an incredible impact, just like his bathing 7 times in the Jordan with all its sediment led to the cure of his leprosy. Today, whereas it might seem that this reading would have been fit during that first phase of Lent, all about conversion, it's placed here because it's one of the consequences of baptism. In baptism, we receive a heart transplant. That's what the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel both prophesied for the Lord. The Lord would rip out our stony hearts and give us a new heart. A heart of flesh, a heart that could receive his love and truly give that love. He was taking out a calcified, ice-cold heart and replacing it with a heart burning with his merciful love. And that's what happens in today's readings. Prophet Daniel says, "Don't take your mercy away from us, Lord." The Lord never intends to. It says a little bit later, Deliver us by your mercies, Lord. Bring glory to your name. We pray over and over again in the psalm, remember your mercies, Lord. Treat us with mercy like you treated our ancestors. And what the Lord says to us is, I'll remember my mercies. You remember my mercies. Come for it, and then pay it forward. In this morning's reading from St. Peter Chrysologus, he talks about this type of standard. If you hope for mercy, show mercy. If you look for kindness, show kindness. If you want to receive, give. If you ask for yourself what you deny to others, your asking is a mockery. He goes on, let this be the pattern for all who practice mercy. Show mercy to others in the same way, with the same generosity, with the same promptness, as you want others to show mercy to you. If we want God always to show mercy to us without limit, we need to show that limitless mercy. To use the image of Pope Francis, our heart has systolic and diastolic functions. If we're not receiving God's mercy in, or we're not pumping it out, the heart is dead. We have to do both. And that's the new heart that God gives us. One receptive to God's mercy and one capable of being as merciful as the Father is merciful. So when Peter comes today and asks Jesus, how often must I forgive when my brother sins against me? He takes what the Jews thought was a really, really big number. What Amos said that we had to forgive three times, multiplied it by two, added the cherry on top, and came up with the biblical number of seven. Infinite, as many as seven times. Jesus replies to him, 77s. And whether that's 77 or 490, seven is already an infinite number. It basically means limitlessly. And in Jesus' parable, we can't grasp enough because it contains within just how rich God wishes to make us with mercy. Because of the presence of Sister Cora Chaley and Sister Desiree and Louisa, I ask those who remember all the math hidden in this parable to bear with me again, because it just shows the magnitude of God's mercy. First man was brought in who owed 10,000 talents. Talent was 6,000 days' wages. He owed 60 million days of work. If he were making $100 a day, that's $6 billion. Drops to his knees and simply says, give me time and I will pay you back in full. In the time he needed, if he never had even the simplest expense for a cup of coffee, would have taken 164,271 years. Just give me time. Just give me time. And I'll pay this unpayable debt back. Moved with compassion. And I know when you hear that expression, you're all saying to yourself, Schwant Nitzomai. With his guts bursting with compassion, he forgave him the entire debt. He didn't even ask him to pay back what you can, and I'll remit the rest. Even the money of the $6 billion his master had already given him, he was going to allow him to keep. He'd allow him to keep his house, his wife and his kids would be saved. And then this man goes out and he meets another servant who owes him 100 denarii, 100 days' wages. By the same standard of $100 a day, 10,000. Totally payable debt. And when this man does the exact same verbs and falls down on his knees and says, just give me time. And with time, this debt could be paid off in a few months. But rather than remitting the entire debt, he didn't do that. He didn't even give him a minute. He wasn't even going to give him time. He began to choke him and say, pay back what you owe. It's extraordinary. The man who would receive such incredible mercy just refused to show it. And then he's brought back in to the presence of the master. And the master told him what had been reported. And the master was deeply disturbed. I forgave you your entire debt simply because you asked me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And he called him something. You wicked servant. At the end of the day, we're either going to be merciful as the Father is merciful, or we're going to be wicked. There's no middle ground. We have to make the choice. God wants to give us the heart to be as merciful as He is. But if we refuse, ultimately we become wicked. And so sometimes we can hold those grudges. We can say that other person really, 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 really hurt me. You can say the other person hasn't gotten it. I've given the person a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. But if we don't forgive, our heart changes and we become wicked. That's why mercy for us is not an option. Mercy is a divine command. Forgive and you will be forgiven. For the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. The very end today, Jesus tells us, so will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother from your heart. One of the uptakes of this parable is God's merciful love can be forfeited when we refuse to be merciful to others. So what's one of the greatest gifts that God gives us? Looked at with supernatural lenses. He gives us people to forgive. And really forgive. Not just the people who cut us off at a red light that, you know, is more or less venial. Not just the person who says, you don't really look good today. Or who say, have you been eating a lot? Or things like this, the little sort of pass-by jabs. But the people who are excruciatingly hard to forgive, the people who have really deeply hurt us, they're an incredible blessing. Because God, in our forgiving them, will make us merciful like He has been toward us. Jesus wants to make us like Him throughout this period of Lent, and we're heading toward Calvary, where His first words were for sinners in general, for us, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and their sins are crucifying me. Then to a sinner in particular, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus wants to help us to be able to echo that prayer of mercy. The great way we learn how to do that is each day at Mass. We come and we recognize we're sinners, great sinners, by our own most grievous fault. We ask for His mercy, and He never ceases to pour it out. There's a prayer embedded in today's first reading from the book of Daniel, which is said at every Mass. At that moment in which, after the offering of the bread and the wine in the offertory, the priest bows down before the altar and says, Spiritu militatis et animo contrito, sicuri amor te, Domine, et sic fiat sacrificium nostrum in conspectu tuo hodie, ut placiat tibi, Domine, Deus. But with contrite heart and humble spirit, let us be received, O Lord. Let our sacrifice be in your presence today, as we follow you unreservedly. We come with a contrite heart and a humble spirit to be received by the Lord in his mercy. And he transforms our heart in the heart transplant of the Mass, which he gives us himself, so that we, with mercy incarnate within our own flesh, might be able to go out and forgive others 77s. Let's let that Lord work that moral miracle in us today anew.